Good evening, everyone. We're in the middle of the difficult sugya of Yisurin Shel Ahava. We had seen numerous reasons last week why someone might have difficulties in one's life, even though if we'd weigh his actions, and if God weighs his actions, he would seem undeserving of the difficulties that life dishes out to him. And we discussed that sometimes one understanding is that this is as a lesson to others. Another understanding was Hashem Tzadik Yivchan, that the righteous sometimes that's their test, like Avram had tests throughout his life. We discussed that sometimes it's for the sins of the generation to give him more sechar in the world to come. We discussed that there seems to be a system with which God created the world. And we discussed the story of Rabbi Lazar ben Pedas, who was, he had just let blood, and after letting blood, one has to eat something. He was so poor, he had nothing to eat, but a piece of garlic, and on an empty stomach, to take a piece of garlic and knocked him out. And in his dream, he saw a vision, which God appeared to him, and he said, he was expressing his sorrow, and God said, you want, we'll start the world from scratch and see if you might end up in a better lot. And he asked God, if, maybe? And from that Gemara, we see that there's an aspect where God creates the world, and there are great forces at play, and God lets them be at play, and that's part of the way God created the world, and they can define what kind of life a person will have. And we could call it laws of nature, we could call it the stars, the constellation, we could call it whatever we want, but Chazal do tell us that there's an aspect where God, so to speak, lets the world run. Rashi, on the verse in Eicha, in Lamentations, Rashi says, "Mipi elyon lo tetzei ha-ra'ot ve'atov," that's pshat in that pasuk, when the pasuk says that God says, I don't decree who's going to have it good and who's going to have it bad. Rashi seems to explain over there, going in line with this understanding. But all of this was discussed last week. And now, we're going to continue with the Gemara. And the Gemara says, the Gemara brings an argument. We're holding Brachos, Daf Hei, in the Ein Yaakov. In the Ein Yaakov pages, in the ancient Ein Yaakov, it's Daf Yudam at Beis. There was an argument between Rav Yaakov, the son of Idi, and Rav Acha, the son of Chanina. Chadamar, one said, Kol yisurin sheyesh bem bitul Torah, anytime a person has afflictions that cause him to cease his Torah learning, they cause some detriment to his Torah learning, einan yisurin shel ahava, those are not considered afflictions that stem from love. Elu en yisurin shel ahava, what are defined as afflictions that stem from love, kol she'en lem bitul Torah, so long as one does not have to lessen his learning Torah, so long as one is not forced to lessen his learning Torah due to the afflictions, then one can know that it's Yisurin Shel Ahava. Shenemar, as the verse states in Tehillim, Ashrei Agever, praised is the person, Asher Tiyasrenu Ya, that you afflict him, God, Umitoratcha Telamdenu, and at the same time you keep teaching him your Torah. So that pasuk seems to indicate when is a person praiseworthy. If his afflictions come with Torah, meaning that those are afflictions that stem from love, as we discussed last week. Mechad amar, and one said, Kol yisurin sheyesh bem bitul tefillah, nan yisurin shel ahava, eilu hem yisurin shel ahava, what defines afflictions that stem from love, kol she'en lehem bitul tefillah. Provided that they don't cause a person to lessen his prayer. Shneimar, the verse states, also in Tehillim, Baruch Elokim, blessed is God, Elohim, God who judges, and that's the indication that we're referring to afflictions. Asher lo esir tfilatov chasdo miti, that has not removed my prayer and his kindness from me. Amar le Rabbi Abba v'reid Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Rabbi Abba, the son of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, said to him, Hachi amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. This is what my father said. In the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Eilu velu yisrin shlavain. Regardless, even if it causes a person to pause in his learning Torah or in his prayer, if it lessens his Torah or prayer, it still can be afflictions of love. Shneimar, because the verse states, Ki et asher yehav Hashem yuchiyach. The verse says, Musar Hashem, when God chastises, B'ni my son, al timas, do not be disgusted with it. Ve'al takutz betochachto. And when he rebukes, don't turn against it. Don't feel badly against it. Ki et asher yehav Hashem yuchiyach. For God rebukes those that He loves. And the fact that the pasuk has to give a reason why not feel bad when God rebukes indicates that there's a spiritual reason why one would feel bad at the afflictions. And that would be either because his Torah is lessened or his prayer is lessened. And the verse is coming to say, don't feel bad, even if that happens, so you're doing your best. So what do we do with that verse that they quoted, that the verse says, praised is the person that's afflicted and from the Torah it's learned and keeps learning Torah. So don't read the verse that it's and you keep teaching him from your Torah, he's afflicted and you keep teaching him Torah. That's not the way to read it. That the verse is read as following: praised is the person that you afflict him, God, and from the Torah you taught us this concept. Tilamdeinu, you teach us. You teach us this concept from the Torah. Davar ze mitoratcha tilamdeinu. This you teach us from the Torah. Kal vachomer a fortiori mishen v'ayin. We know that if there is a non-Jewish slave who gets his eye taken out or a tooth taken out or any one of the 24 limbs, so then he goes free. He's been a slave. His father's been a slave. It's been 20 generations since they've been enslaved. If the master knocks out a tooth or an eye, he goes free. So from there we can derive, if the eye or the tooth, there are only one limb in a person, the slave goes free if it's knocked out. Yisurin, affliction, they cause a person's whole body to be pained, certainly that they set him free. What? Kal vachomer. Right, certainly they set him free. So what's going on here? Where do we have slaves? We have Canaan. Canaan castrated his father, and his father cursed him to become a slave. Right? Canaan castrated his grandfather, and his father, his grandfather Noah, cursed him to be a slave. And he's a slave, and his offsprings are slaves. And then one offspring does something wrong to his master. Why is his master hitting him? He's not hitting him for the fun of it. The man spit in his face. So he turns his hand back and knocks, gives him a, socks him in the back. He socks him back, knocks out a tooth, the man goes free. So what happened to the slave? He's been a slave, his father's been a slave, it's been generations of slave. And then one time he does something wrong, but the reaction is too harsh, and because the reaction is too harsh, he gets a tooth knocked out. So that's it, he's a free man. You ask him, was it worth the tooth? He'll say, for sure. By the same token, when a tzaddik does something that's deserving of some kind of punishment, it could be a shogeg, it could be something minuscule. But if the punishment is such that it's yisurin shel ahava, that it's affliction, as we discussed last week, that it stems from love, so then certainly that he comes free of any sin that he has. Just like the slave goes free when he gets afflicted, even something minor, but it's more than he deserved. And this is what Reish Lakish said. Reish Lakish said, notice, we went from Rav Yochanan to Reish Lakish. You notice the Gemara keeps going back and forth? We saw this a few weeks ago also. Reish Lakish said, Nemar brit b'melach, nemar brit b'yisurin. We have a covenant regarding salt and a covenant regarding afflictions. By salt it says, V'lo tashbit melach brit, that every sacrifice has to have the salt of the covenant. And it says, by afflictions, Nemar brit b'yisurin, d'chtiv ele divrei brit. After all the warnings that the Torah gives of the affliction God could give to the people who don't keep the Torah, God says, these are the words of my covenant. So they're both called a covenant. Ma brit amra melech melech mematek tabasar. Just like salt, we know if you have meat, it's filled with blood. You pour salt over it, the blood comes out, and the meat is better. Af brit amra b'yisurin, so too by afflictions, it's called a covenant, because yisurin memarkin kol avonotav shel adam. The afflictions can purify a person. What's the difference between these two understandings? The difference is, sometimes, a person is born to a bad family. So, We once had a guy here who said, my father is a thief, my grandfather is a thief. I've only grown up with bad people. Do I stand the chance? So everyone said, of course you stand the chance. You be a good person. And he said, you know, it's not as easy as you guys say. After that conversation, he stuck around for another month or two, and then he disappeared. And I don't know what happened to him. I mean, he was very good when he was here. We all thought he was a great guy, but he felt like, how can I ever be something good if this is where I'm coming from? So sometimes a person has things that he should work on that stem from where he's coming from. That's like the slave. The slave is a slave because of where he's coming from. If he were born to the master, he'd be a master. He's born to a slave, he's a slave. It's not something he did. That's where he was born into. So Rav Yochanan teaches us that when it comes to things that we do wrong, if a person grows up in a home that they never bring Shabbos in on time. You'll notice there are those homes that they always light candles on time and everyone's ready and they get to shul on time. And then there are those homes, I dare say the majority of homes, that they light candles 2 seconds or 3 minutes after candle lighting, and they get to shul when everyone's already finishing their Shemona Esrei. And a kid who grows up in that home invariably usually has that habit. And now he's got to break that habit. But he'll say, you know, that's how I grew up. I started off minus one. It's not easy for me. So, but those things Rav Yochanan brought, we derive from the slave. That a slave can say, I didn't do anything to get to this position. So we say, yeah, but external things can help you get out. And then there are the things which a person really, it's part of him. A person's angry. So he can say, I saw my father angry. True. But it could also be that he allowed himself to become proud enough to be angry. And many things a person acquires his own traits. So about that, it's comparable to the salt. The salt takes, you have a piece of meat, intrinsically meat has blood. You want to make the meat better, you salt it, the blood comes out, that's where we derive, that's why we bring these two examples. Rish Lakish brought the case of the salt and the meat, and Rav Yochanan brought the case of the slave and the eye or the tooth. It's interesting. You guys remember Rish Lakish's history, right? He started off learning Torah, then became a bandit, and then came back to learn Torah. Tanya, we have a Tanaic quote. We have a Tanaic quote. Now, it's interesting also that we say the salt sweetens the meat. The salt is what makes the meat sweeter. By the same token, we say when a person repents, so his sins become chuyot. They become sweet. Like God says, if a person really fixes himself, then God says, even those things that were negative about you, that's going to become your strong point, that's going to become your merits. Every person has to know that the point on which a person is most weak is the point on which he could be most strong. A weakness is really a ladder, it's a step on which we could attain new heights. Tanya, we have a Tanakh quote that has validity. It's from Beis Medrash of Rav Hoshaya, it's a Beis Medrash where we know its validity. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Omer. Anytime we have Rav Shimon in the Mishnah, so Stam Rav Shimon is Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Rashbi. His father was a wealthy person named Yochai, and he learned by Rabbi Akiva.
The author of the Zohar.
Okay. Yeah. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, Gimel Matanot Tovot Natan HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYisrael. Now I suggest that we read through this Gemara and then go back and analyze the words and see how much depth there is in what we read as a simple sentence. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says there are three good gifts that God gave to the Jewish people, V'chulam lo natan ela al yedei yisurin, and all of them weren't given other than through afflictions. They're not easy to come by. Ve'elu hen, and these are they, Torah, Eretz Yisrael, V'olam haba. Torah, the land of Israel, and the world to come. These are the three good gifts God gave to the Jewish people, and they can only be attained by afflictions. So let's notice what was said here. Three good gifts, meaning there are gifts that aren't good. There are gifts that are good, and there are gifts that aren't good. What's good about this? So we find these three things are called good in the Torah. They're all called Tov. The Torah is called Ki Lekach Tov Natati Lachem. I gave you a good teaching. Eretz Yisrael is called Al Aretz Atovasha Natanach. So it's called the good land. And the world to come is called Hinei natati lachem et hachayim, life in this earth, ve'et hatov, and good in the world to come. Why does Torah have to be obtained through afflictions? Because our sages taught us that if one wants to really attain Torah, he has to forego the pleasures of this world. Adam ki amut be'od. The Chazal said, for every piece of olam hazeh a person has, any time a person has material joy, it's distancing himself from the spiritual. It's a balance. You want to get to the spiritual and you have to forego the physical. A person who wants to get both, it's not feasible. They're contradictory. Sometimes we think there's nothing wrong with it. So I'll go for a coffee break. I can't learn Torah and sit here and enjoy myself. The answer is no, it won't work. It won't work. It's not just that, it's not a question of time. It's a question of where a person's heart is. And once a person is connected, the more a person is connected to the physical, the less he can be connected to the spiritual. The higher a person is, the less he's going to be connected. We find that a Navi, the prophets, we're going to learn about this with Hashem, sometimes they get naked when they got prophecy. They couldn't have anything to do with the physical. They couldn't even wear their clothes. So Adam and Chava, before their sin, they didn't need clothes. They didn't need that aspect of the physical. So Torah, if a person wants to attain Torah, it's only through foregoing the physical. And that's what it says, Yisurin are what move a person forward in Torah. When it comes to Eretz Yisrael, so a person can think, oh yeah, we got Israel, great crops. Seven species, flowing with milk and honey. We're here to have a good time. And the idea is that no, if a person is focused on the physical aspects of the land of Israel, so then he comes to what really happened when the Jewish people were focused on the physical. They rebelled. Think about it. We're going to discuss it, but Ein Adam Met V'Chatzita Avato Biyador. Sages taught us, no one dies and feels like he's gotten half what he wanted. I was once visiting one millionaire and I was on the way to another millionaire, two relatives. So I mentioned to the one man, I said, you know, I'm going to the other one, can you tell me how to get there? So he stops me and says, you're going there? Take a look when you enter. They've got this beautiful painting on the wall, and I could see the man was like coveting that painting. He said to me, that painting alone, when you walk through the door, is $3 million. I said, okay. And I could see he starts telling me all the things in their house. And you see, the man has more money than he could spend in his life. But this is exactly what Chazal said. If a person has $100,000, he wants $200,000. Someone was mentioning to me last week, they said, you know, I just realized $1 million, even if I won the lottery, well, it's not enough. So I'm thinking, you know, I don't think in those terms yet. Maybe one day I will, but I don't think about having $1 million. But this person took the time to sit down and think, what would I do with $1 million? And they came to the conclusion, it's not going to be enough. That's just not enough. Chazal told us the second we have X, we want at least twice X. And Chazal told us that no person will die and feel like he's gotten half what he wanted to attain in this world physically. So long as a person wants the physical. So long as that's where a person's thinking, so each time he wants something better. And the second he attains that, he wants more. The only people who don't want more, who want the physical, are those people who you see really made it. What's her name? The one who just shaved her head? Who lost custody of her kids?
Spears,
right. When a person has it all, they're 23 or 24, and the whole world's talking about them, and they're famous, and they have millions, they seem to have everything. So then they reach a point and they say, gee, I got here. I got to the end of the rainbow, and it ain't so good. Now what's there left to live for? What am I living for? So then they have to do crazy things. So then they could do daredevil stunts and kill themselves, or they could take drugs. Or like Marilyn Monroe wrote in her suicide note, I realize I'm never going to be happy. Maybe she was murdered. I don't know. I wasn't there. But when a person reaches, when a person's focused on the physical, then he's never going to be happy. And even if he attains what he thinks he can attain, that's not going to bring him the happiness, so he's going to have one of two ways to go. Either search for the spiritual or reach the conclusion that he's never going to be happy. And then, look, Hollywood is filled with psychiatrists. Okay, if you make it big, then suddenly you realize that that's not really making it big. So, the land of Israel, God didn't want us to think this is just, we're here for the physical. God said, you want land of Israel? It's not going to come easy. There were once two brothers discussing where they're going to live. They came to Israel for the year. And one of them said to the other, he said, you know, people get killed here on the streets. I don't know what the situation is today. I'm not up to date. But it used to be that many, many people were killed each year in traffic accidents.
It's still that case?
So one said to the other, he started making claims. He said, you know, there are terrorist attacks, there are bombings, there are traffic accidents. How are you going to live with yourself if you make Aliyah and you lose a child because you lived here in Israel? So the brother answered him. He said, let me tell you something. People die in traffic accidents in the United States as well. But when a person dies and he's been living his life here, or a person loses a child and they've been living here, so he knows every minute, I've been doing something for the whole Jewish people. I've been doing something here. I've been doing something worthwhile here. My whole life, I'm living here. I'm doing something for the sake of eternity. I'm doing something for everyone. And if, God forbid, something bad happens, so then he knows, but I did my part. But imagine, he told him, imagine in the United States, a person's son is going on the subway and there's a shooting and his son gets killed. Or he gets hit by a car. When he sits Shiva, all he has to sit about is he died. But he can't tell himself, well, yeah, but every minute he was living, every minute he was walking here, he was doing something for, he was performing a mitzvah, he was doing something for Am Yisrael. No, he can't say that. Eretz Yisrael has a lot of blessing. And a person's supposed to attain the level where he sees the blessing even through the physical, even through the fruits. But God didn't want to make it that a person's going to come and say, yeah, I'm here, it's good, it's nice, there are beaches. Gush Katif, we used to have a lot of beaches. There's a lot of nice stuff out here in Israel. Every climate you want to go skiing in the north, you could go skiing, you want to go to the Sahara, you could go to the deserts. Every climate you want, the land's been blessed, undoubtedly. But, to maintain focus, God said, this land is acquired with Yisuin. It's not easy living here. And the third thing is Olam Haba, the world to come. If a person wants to attain the world to come, so then he's got to focus on this world, on doing what's good. And sometimes the cleansing that we discussed earlier, that's the way it works. That's how a person grows. We all grow from, call it from adversity, call it from difficulties. That's when a person grows. Three good gifts Hashem gave. Notice they're called gifts. These are three things that theoretically every person can attain. You don't have to pay money. You want to come here and live, so at least it used to be, you could come and live. So today it's a little bit more complicated, but there's still gifts that were given to the Jewish people. Torah, you want to learn? Today it's even easier. You could get free classes on the internet. And the world to come. Right? And the world to come. Three good gifts. There are many gifts a person can have in this world. A person can be wealthy, a person can be strong, a person can have many good things. But these are called good gifts because these gifts give a person the ability to be whole in his nefesh. Every other gift has positive aspects and it could also detract. These gifts, they're gifts that help a person be whole. And these gifts, Hashem gave only to Yisrael. Other gifts, you have other people who are wealthy. You have other, the Medrash says correspondences. There was a prophet named Moshe, there was a prophet named Bilam. There was a wealthy man named Korach, there was a wealthy man named Haman. There are correspondences, God makes it, that there are big people in Judaism and big people outside Judaism. But these three gifts were given specifically to Am Yisrael. And all three can only be attained through Yisurin. And all three are called Chayim. All three are life, which connects to what we were saying earlier. Because we know the Torah is Ki hu chayecha v'ochyamecha. That's our life. That's our lifeline. The land of Israel, we say Leman yobuyu mechem v'mei v'nechem. God says perform the mitzvah so you have life in this land. That's called Eretz Chayim. And so too the world to come is called Chayim. When a person has Yisurim, so he can connect, he's in a sense being forced to detach from the physical, and he's connecting more to the spiritual, which is the Chaim, which is what these three are. And now the Gemara brings verses to support these three. Torah, how do we know? Because the verse says, praise Asher Gevra Ashot Yasinu Yau Mitoratchat Lamdenu. Praised is a person that's afflicted and is taught Torah. Eretz Yisrael Minayin Dechtiv, V'yadatayim Levavecha Ki Chasho Yasrish Et Pno Hashem Lokecha Miyasrecha. You will know with your heart that just as a man afflicts a son, so too Hashem afflicts you. V'chtiv batrei, the verse following says, Ki Hashem lukecham v'yachad el tzotova, God's bringing you to a good land. Olam haba, the world to come, minayin, how do we know this? V'chtiv kinel mitzvah v'torah or, for a mitzvah is compared to a candle, to an oil lamp, and the Torah is compared to light, to the sun. V'derchaim tochot musar, and the way to life, to the Torah, is through tochachot, through the Musar, the afflictions. Tani Tana Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. The Tana quoted the following Tana quote in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Kol, all, and we're going to have to discuss who it's coming to encompass. Haosek b'Torah v'gimnut chasadim, who are dealing with Torah and acts of kindness, v'koveret banav, and have to bury their sons, mochalino al kol avonotav. So in heaven, they forgive him for all of his sins. He's saying this in front of Rav Yochanan. Next week we're going to learn that Rav Yochanan lost all his children. He had one little son. This is the great Rav Yochanan who composed the Jerusalem Talmud. His little son was once playing in front of him, and before his eyes he fell into a vat of boiling water and boiled to death. That was the last son, his tenth son, after losing the first nine. And Rav Yochanan would hold on to a little piece of bone from that's what was left from that boy. And that's what we're going to learn next week. So in front of Rabbi Yochanan, the Tana is now quoting the following Tanai quote. All who delve, who are dealing with Torah and acts of kindness, and we know that Gmilut Chasadim is greater than Tzedakah. Tzedakah one can only do with one's money. Gmilut Chasadim one can do with one's body, with one's food, with one's time. Gmilut Chasadim are acts of kindness. Tzedakah is only for the living. You know the joke about the guy who was... I had three friends, gave each one $1 million, said, when I'm buried, right? You guys know the joke?
No.
Okay, he said, when I'm buried, I want to have my money with me, my family won't listen, so I'm giving you each $1 million. When I'm buried, so you put it, you each come near the casket, put it in. So the day comes, he dies, and the three friends are very loyal. The first one walks up and he says, Charlie, you were a great man, may you rest in peace. Takes out a big wad, puts in. Pack of bills, and he puts in $1 million. The next guy comes in, he says, Charlie, we're really going to miss you, go in peace. Takes out a big wad, puts it in. The third guy wakes up and he says, Charlie, you're really a great man, and I really owe you a lot. Takes out a check for $3 million, puts it in, and takes out the other two. So Gmilut Chasadim, acts of kindness, are even with the dead. Tzedakah, you can only give the living. The dead have nothing to do with money. But acts of kindness, so that you can do the dead. Sometimes they need to be buried. Someone has to take care of the burial. Tzedakah is only with the poor. And Gmilut Chasadim is even with the rich. Acts of kindness, one can do with everyone. So Gmilut Chasadim is bigger than Tzedakah. If one is osek b'Torah, he's dealing with Torah, he's dealing with it, not just reading it, he's learning it. And gmilut chasadim, and he buries his sons, then in heaven they forgive him for all of his sins. Amar li Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said to the gentleman who was quoting this Tanai, quote, Bishlema Torah gmilut chasadim, Torah and gmilut chasadim, I can find a verse for them, dichtiv, the verse says, with kindness and truth. Truth is a reference to Torah. Only truth can be eternal. The fact that the Torah is constant throughout all generations and doesn't change is indicative of the fact that it is truth. So, with kindness and truth, one's sins are forgiven. Chesed zug milut chasadim shnemar odef tzedakah v'chased yimtza chayim tzedakah v'chavod. Emet zu Torah shnemar emet kneiv al tinkor. Ela bat koveret banav minayin. Where do you have the source that burying the sons also brings atonement? Tana Leahu Saba. So that old man quoted him, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, quoting Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And there is an opinion that everywhere in Shas that we encounter Ahu Saba, that old man, it's a reference to Eliyahu HaNavi, except for one Gemara in Shabbos. But there is an opinion that says every other place Ahu Saba is an allusion to Eliyahu HaNavi. Ati Avon Avon. We derive it from the word avon that says here, k'tiv ha'cha b'chesed v'emet yichupar avon. With kindness and truth, one's avon gets cleaned out. B'chtiv ha'tam, and it says over there, u'mshalem avon avot al chek b'nehem achayim. that God pays the avon of the fathers to their children. So we see that avon, when the verse says that avon is forgiven, that's a reference to the children suffering at the parents' hands. How does this work? So the Gemara tells us that so long as a child is a minor, he hasn't yet hit 13, he's considered collateral for his parents' behavior. We know that when a child becomes bar mitzvah, so then he makes the father, today the custom is that the father makes the blessing, Baruch Shaptarani Moncho Shezeh. Thank God I'm forgiven from this one's punishment. What does that mean? So the ancient custom was that the son would make the blessing. And he'd say, up until now, I was collateral for his behavior. And now, I'm my own man. I'm my own responsibility. So even when the father is saying it, possibly that's what the father means. Thank God, I no longer have to worry that he'll suffer because of what I do. The Gemara tells us that God says, you behave. And if not, then the place where it hurts a person most is his wife and his children. And God says, that's the collateral, that God says, you behave, otherwise they're the ones that I'm taking as collateral. And Bezrat Hashem, next week, we're going to start the Gemara with Rav Yochanan and the rabbis who did suffer afflictions. Right now we're going to go to Alvit, I think. Do we have another 2 minutes? I don't know if that watch is accurate. Yeah, the question is, okay. So we'll continue another minute. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So we're continuing with Rabbi Yochanan, and we're going to see that Rabbi Yochanan is going to be a major part of all of these Gemaras, as we've seen until now. Nigaim uvanim enan yisurim shel ahava. We know that a person can have a white spot, and it could be nega tzarat. And banim can be one of two things. Banim could be a person not having children at all, or a person losing the children he already has. And the Gemara is now going to delve into what Rabbi Yochanan referring to. Because Rabbi Yochanan is contradicting what we just quoted, and he's saying, sons are not an affliction of love. If this happens to a person with his sons, then it's not an affliction of love. What's he talking about? Is he talking about, the Gemara initially assumes he means to contradict what we just quoted, that if a person, God forbid, buries his children, he says, that's not out of love, that's a punishment. And the Gemara is going to conclude that that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about if a person doesn't have children at all, and then we're going to have to discuss how we understand that. But one thing we have to remember is that ours is not to judge. We don't have to look at someone else and say, so if that's their situation, this isn't out of love. But Bezrat Hashem, next week we'll pick up over here. Well, don't we have...